We stand for the reading of our gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she does, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's gospel reading opens up this with the Pharisees once again grumbling against Jesus. They look at him and say he is eating with sinners and tax collectors. Why do they care? I mean, what is it their concern? If Jesus wants to eat with such people, what's it to them? To each his own, right? But instead, they grumble. Well, perhaps it would be better if we look a little closer at these Pharisees, get a little bit of insight onto where they're coming from. You see, these men of Jesus' day, deep down inside, really did want to make God happy. In fact, in Jesus' day, there was an ongoing debate about what sort of person makes God happy. And there was really just two groups of thought. The first one was that some Pharisees held the opinion that the kind of person that makes God the happiest is the kind of person who has been basically righteous his whole life, always lived well, never having any moral meltdowns or failures. The other group, well, they believed that God was even happier when a person had lived a bad life and repented and then came back to the Lord. Let's look at it this way. Take, for instance, you have two baby boys born, Joe and Bill. Joe is a good kid. He listens to his parents. He does his homework. He marries a nice girl, well-mannered children, active in the community, steady church attendance, and dies. At his funeral, he was praised for being a good guy. Bill, on the other hand, was a very rebellious kid, did not listen to his parents, did not do his homework, dropped out of school, nursed addictive habits, lived promiscuously, and wasted resources given to him. But at age 32, after hitting rock bottom, he turned his life around, kicked his habits, separated from evil, and decided to live for God from then on. In other words, Bill repented and became a good man. When he died, at his funeral, he was praised for turning things around. The Pharisees would endlessly debate this as to whether Joe made God happier or Bill made God happier. Well, which side do you think Jesus would agree with? Would Jesus be happier with Joe, a good guy his whole life? Or would Jesus be happier with Bill, a bad guy who repented and turned into a good guy? Well, if we look closely at the Gospels, we can see that Jesus was not particularly happy with either of them. In fact, this is why the Pharisees grumbled so much against Jesus. He wasn't attracting good people at all. He was attracting people while they were still bad. And these people didn't even have the capacity to become good. They were sinners and tax collectors, after all. This man, this Jesus, likes them. He permits them to come to him without prerequisites or expectations, without probationary hearings, without having to prove anything. And the Pharisees cannot take it, and they grumble against Jesus for it. So Jesus then tells three parables and shows how invested he is in recovering sinners for himself. And there's something quite pronounced in this chapter of Luke's gospel. And it's not that Jesus loves sinners and seeks them and dies for them. That's all true, of course, and we know that. But in chapter 15, we have a picture of just how delighted the Lord is to save sinners. In each of the parables, there is a party, and all are invited to rejoice. They are to rejoice because he rejoices. His rejoicing cannot be contained, and he wants others to share it with him. Now, you already understand that the Lord has saved you by his precious blood, but it's more than that. You bring the Lord joy. Now, we talk about a lot about how the Lord is our joy, but did you know that you are the Lord's joy? It's like this. Everything I've said so far is true. You bring the Lord joy. You, personally, your personality, your interest, everything about you. But in these parables, these aren't what brings the Lord joy. Although they do somewhat on their own, what brings him joy here is when a person who is lost, wayward, and sinful repents. Jesus says there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need no repentance. The word repents here that we read in our text in the original carries a bit of a different vibe to it than the way our English translations put it. Reading it as Jesus' hearers would have understood it, it sounds something more like this. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner repenting than those 99 who don't need to. Jesus wants sinners who are continually repenting, not the kind who have had to repent at one time, say at age 32, but then were so good they no longer needed repentance. For Jesus, both Joe and Bill here, if they think they no longer need repentance, well, then they're lumped into the group of the 99. They do not bring joy to the Lord. But the kind of repentance that does bring him joy is the kind you keep having. You have to keep repenting. Why? Because you keep sinning. It's a regular thing. So you need to keep repenting. The trouble is, this is all counterintuitive to the way our human brains work. Every time we have to tell our Lord again that we sinned and we're sorry and want to be forgiven, that's what brings him joy? Let's say you've been assigned to a counselor for your anger management issues. When you arrive on one check-in, you report that your week went well, you managed your emotions, You did not raise your voice at anyone. You caused no harm to anyone or anything. Well, the counselor then would be very happy with you, wouldn't they? You are doing so well, the person would say. But if you arrive and you report that you lost your temper 4 times, you yelled at the person in the grocery store line with you, you kicked your neighbor's mailbox after an argument over the dog, and you were sorry and will try harder next week, your counselor would be very disappointed in you, wouldn't they? So if you say you've been good, the person is happy. If you say you've been bad, the person is disappointed. That's the way things work in our world. But that's not how the Lord works. There is no happiness. There is no party thrown for the other 99 sheep. But there is one for the one who was lost and was brought back. And if that same sheep wanders off again next week and has to be found again, then there will be another party. There will be rejoicing over the lost sheep that was found. It's as if you said to the counselor, I had a terrible week. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I will try and do better next week. And then your counselor is overjoyed, calls all their friends, and celebrate that you failed, but you kept your appointment on time. It's just not what we expect, is it? But that's the Lord's reaction to your confession. It brings him joy. Have you broken any of the commandments? Have you been grumbling and complaining about your life? Are you holding grudges against family, friends, or anyone? Do you entertain evil desires? You sneak around and cover your tracks, told lies to make yourself look better? Do you daydream about how much smarter you are than the president or the governor or the mayor? Do you lose your temper when you're driving out on the highway and start yelling at the other drivers in your car? Have you been angry with God because he's just not living up to what you expect? We do all these things and mostly get away with them. So we think that God must not mind or doesn't really care to notice. But he does notice. And your sins are damaging to you and to others. They are an offense to God and they are dangerous. You may not get caught, but there are consequences to our sin. So you are not Joe or Bill. You are not among the 99 righteous. You are the lost sheep. You are the lost coin. We all are. We all need to repent, not just because of this condemning catalogs of sins that can be brought against us. We repent because heaven rejoices over you. Jesus has paid for your sins by dying on the cross. They will not be added up. God does not want to hold them against you. He simply wants you. In fact, even more than that, it's not just that he wants you back, but when he finds you, even for the 3rd time during the week, or perhaps the 3rd time in the same day that he has to find you, he isn't angry. He doesn't shake his head in disgust and give you a lecture. He doesn't require you to explain yourself. He doesn't think, how dumb are you? Are you ever going to figure this out? Rather, together with all of heaven, he rejoices that you were lost and now you are found. He sees you and counts you as perfectly holy, and he does not keep score and worry that you will probably get lost again. Finding lost sheep is what the shepherd does. So rejoice in the Lord, for by your Holy Spirit given faith and repentance, our Lord and all his angels and saints in heaven are rejoicing over you.